Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's franchise spotlight guest will be Steve Collette. Today's show is brought to you by Social Joey, the better software company, and we welcome a brand new sponsor to Social Geek this week, FranSuite. FranSuite is a cloud-based digital marketing platform designed to help a franchise grow. FranSuite empowers a franchisor to enable franchise success and say goodbye to digital ads launched by your franchisees that don't live up to your brand standards. You can launch brand-approved creative on Instagram, Facebook, and Google search in just a few clicks and control how your brand is being used. You'll collaborate and communicate across your system like never before, with visibility into real-time performance and increased awareness with the local customer, more traffic, and more sales. If your franchise uses an agency to launch local ads, but struggles to get access to real-time performance data, then FranSuite is also for you. See it in action at fransuite.com. That's FranSuite.com. Okay, joining me now is Steve Collette. He's the co-founder and CEO of Third Degree Training, as well as Actual Nutrition. Hey, Steve, how are you?
I am fantastic, Jack. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. You are currently on the other side of Canada from where you typically are. Is that right?
That's right. I'm out just outside of Vancouver in a lovely, lovely community called Langley, British Columbia. It's a little warmer here, a little wetter, but I'm usually all the way on the other side of the country. You really can't get any further away.
Yeah, there you go. And home for you and the brands is Prince Edward Island. Is that right?
Yes, Prince Edward Island is where we started our brands and we live. We're well developed without around the maritime provinces in Canada, and so East Coast is our home. We love it there. You're probably about a 2.5 hour flight from Toronto, 2.5 hours east. And a lot of people have never been to Eastern Canada. They think Toronto's east, and I'm always saying, "Well, no, man, you still got to hop a plane and go a little while, right?"
Right. Well, before we get into today's topic, give us a little bit more of your background. What's your story?
Well, it's my story is one of those, I guess, like a lot of typical entrepreneurs. I was always the kid who jumped around into everything, was always extremely extroverted and loved people. So I kind of, it took a while to find my zone. I always say now I look back at it and I didn't realize that I had entrepreneurial traits. And a lot of the time, whenever a young man or young woman is a certain way, the basic entrepreneurship traits that are very evident and very important that we see now, they're not really encouraged in the younger generation. So it took me a while to kind of find what I wanted to do. So I traveled around the country quite a bit and did all sorts of jobs and tried all sorts of careers. But I always loved people. I just love working with people. I get very excited around people. And I always say some of the best conversations you're ever going to have in your life were with people that you might not ever see again. And so eventually, after touring around, I made my way back to the East Coast, back to PEI. Literally, I was just going there for a summer and I was bartending. And I said, I might as well stick around here for a year, and then ended up meeting my wife, and but kind of the rest is history with that. So we kind of fell in love with, after we got married, just took a little bit of an unhealthy lifestyle turn, as many of us do in our late 20s, where that metabolism just doesn't burn off the cheeseburgers and beer like it used to. So we, my wife and I, about a little over after a year after we were married, said, well, let's maybe try to get into shape and feel good and all that kind of stuff. And that's kind of where the birth of our careers came from. We fell in love with the healthy lifestyle, and not so much on a cultish level and said that this is going to be everything that we do, but we just fell in love with that overall healthy experience. And then kind of when we we jumped into starting our brands, which is kind of leaping ahead a bit in the conversation, but we kept that holistic kind of core values that we had with our own style of training that we had, and we turned it into a very successful franchise business.
Did you find that there was maybe something lacking in some of the other fitness brands out there that kind of made you say, hey, let's develop something new that isn't available now?
Absolutely. Like back in the day, you look at the fitness industry itself, it's a very healthy industry, no pun intended.
Yeah.
Very booming business. And when you look at the shift in the market in the last 10 years, especially the last five, what we did when we first started, we would get a gym membership and you would hire a trainer and you would go to the odd little class if there was one, but nothing really spoke to us to say that, well, Pam, my wife, Pam and I could do it together. And there was really no limits to who could do a certain program. So we kind of looked at it and said, back in the day, there didn't seem to be a program that fit for everybody. And kind of when we went through the process and started doing a lot of the market research, you found that, you know, the biggest asset in having a wellness program of any sort isn't equipment. It isn't shiny, you know, shiny new equipment that's on a floor. It isn't, it isn't really technology. It's motivation and having a structured system where you can be part of something that's fun, that's doable, and keeps you coming back for more. So we've seen a big void in the market. So rather than look around even longer than we had been, we said, maybe this is something that we should do for ourselves. And for full disclosure, Jack, when we first started our concept, we didn't think that we were going to create a business that was going to thrive and then eventually franchise. We started it for personal reasons.
Yeah.
And then the snowball effect just happened. And so we did see that big void in the industry for what we currently do now. And as you look, in our industry now, the brands that are really thriving and they're really punching and they're growing are more boutique style things where you just don't go in and do anything on your own. You're always with a group atmosphere and with a coach or whatever it may be. And there's some great brands out there, and we certainly think that we're one of them.
Yeah, I like that idea that that you found some sort of gap, or somebody wasn't doing it the way that you envisioned, so you just went out and created it on your own. We hear that a lot here on this podcast when we're talking to franchisors and entrepreneurs, that they were looking to do something and no one is doing it that way. So instead of just doing it the way somebody else thinks will be successful, you started it on your own. I think that's a reoccurring trait I hear of entrepreneurs, as well as what you were saying earlier about, you were the kid that didn't do what everyone said they should do. I'm guessing you got in trouble for talking in class a lot.
Oh, yeah. I still get in trouble for talking. You ask our CFO and COO and my wife, Pam. It was, I guess, and not to make this, surely about me, but yeah, I was that kid that I just, I could just never shut up.
How did I guess?
Man. No, and now idea. I have a 4.5-year-old that he gets it innocent enough, but he's heading for the same direction. But anyway.
Yeah. And also at a young age, you are a bartender. I think being a bartender or a server, there's something else that's connected there in franchising and entrepreneurship that I see that over and over all the time. It's a people skills industry.
Yeah. You know what? You nailed it. We, one thing I look for in when we were hiring employees, we still own a corporate location. So of course we still have employees, but whenever you get someone that has serving or bartending experience in our industry, Jack, it's up on the top of the checklist, just as much as fitness training experience.
Yep. Problem solvers and people pleasers. That's what we need more of right now.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So I want to talk a little bit about emerging brands. When I first met you at one of these franchise industry conferences a couple of years ago, you guys were truly an emerging brand, really, really just getting off the ground.
Absolutely.
And it feels like over the past couple of years, you've kind of taken a leadership role among the emerging brands. And I really wanted to have you share some advice for some of these brands. And you do that a lot through the Canadian Franchise Association, mm-hmm. which you're on the board of now. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. It's been a couple of years now. I'm very proud board of directors member. Canadian Franchise Association, to me, it's, you know, obviously in Canada, if you're franchising, it's a no-brainer. The resources that is offered there through marketing, through networking, through lead generation, just through everything. I mean, yeah. It's a very, very good spot for, you know, of course, I'm very, very a big advocate for emerging brands. And if I had have joined the Canadian Franchise Association as soon as I started franchising, it certainly would have saved me a lot of time.
Yeah.
It saved me a lot of money and a lot of stress. But yeah, the Canadian Franchise Association is a wonderful organization, and I'm very proud to be a part of it.
Yeah. So piece of advice number one, join there, and it will definitely help you accelerate launching your brand.
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about franchisees and finding mm-hmm. the right people to partner with.
Yeah.
What advice would you give an emerging brand right now when they're kind of struggling with that? Because I'm sure they all struggle with that at some point.
Well, we all do, and we all did. And I, you know, we were one of them. Where when you're looking to expand your business and award franchises and find franchise partners, that's the word I like. I you know, there's nothing wrong with the word franchisee, but I just the word franchise partner really speaks to me a little bit more. But what you're looking for for a franchise partner will probably change, as it did for us. We did a revamp of what we look for to have franchises open. You know, originally, what we looked for was we assumed fitness instructors would be great franchisees. Said, wow, you know, I mean, they know how to do this. They know how our program works. You can train them. But coming into when you're awarding franchises, you have to look at it. And when someone becomes a franchisee of a third degree training or any fitness company for that matter, they're not necessarily a fitness instructor anymore. They're now a business owner.
Yeah.
And that is the big one that you have to look at. We've changed basically our profile, a complete 180 to what we look for and the questions that we ask. And having Lori McKenzie and Chris Harker come on as with our management team, our corporate team, has really helped us a lot to look and say, well, you know, ideally, whenever you're looking for proper franchise partners, the questions that you ask and the kind of the red flags you have to look for, if you don't do it off the get-go, you'll eventually do it because it'll bite you.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, what you have to do is you have to look out for the long-term success of not only for your brand, but for your franchisees. I mean, they're putting a lot of the times a lot of money up front to make sure that they're following that, you know, they're falling into what they want to do. And the one thing that you can't do is sell a franchise with your heart instead of your head. And that's one piece of advice I really, really give to emerging brands that are just starting off or thinking about franchising. And I was the same, man. You know, when we awarded our first few franchises, it was looking at it now, and there's some things that I would have looked at completely differently. So it's finding the right franchisee. You might want to work with someone that can give you an objective outlook to help you with that.
Yeah.
Because there's something much different between a franchise partner and an employee.
Yeah. Yeah. And work with someone who can help take it out of your heart and live in your head.
Right. And I mean, I think, you know, we all try to generally be nice people, and we want to be, I'm an internal optimist sometimes to a fault. But you have to be realistic.
Yeah. That's the Canadian coming out in you as well.
Yeah, there you go.
Optimistic and nice. Yeah, that's right. And friendly. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some other points of advice that that I was thinking about. What do you tell people about managing their expectations and their expectations with franchisees, and how do you manage that?
Yeah, that's a tough one, and it's when I say tough, it's certainly doable. I get told that from our management team, and also I have to tell myself is not everyone is wired like me.
Yeah.
And I don't say that arrogantly. It's just whenever you are awarding a franchise and you're opening a location, sometimes you have to think that, you know, if it's not going the way it should be, they're not you. And if you have created and built your brand, sometimes you always have that little one up. But also, if you look at it from the other side, you can also learn a lot from your franchise partners. But you know, managing the expectations is important, because a lot of people, when they start, they say, "Well, listen, I want to get 5 units open in my first year. Then maybe the next year go to 10." But if you don't do it properly, and all of a sudden you scale to 10, 15, 20, 50 locations, and you don't have the right franchise profile in there, ooh, man, she's going to be a rough couple of years.
Yeah. Now you've got 10, 15, 20 problems instead of partners. Yeah.
Right. And what happens is at some point, you got to remember you're dealing with people, and emotion can take the best over logic sometimes. And as a franchisor, you have to remain and looking at it from a logical standpoint and can't make decisions based on emotion, which is really tough to do. It's a tough one. It's doable. I think every brand goes through it. I've certainly learned a lot from the coaching and mentoring I've had with a lot of the amazing brands that I've met through the CFA and the IFA, for that matter. It's not uncommon for a franchise brand, as you start going, to kind of rethink and pivot and slow down a little bit to say, okay, well, let's make sure that we're doing this properly.
Yeah, breathe, right?
Yep.
Where do you sort of draw the line or take a hard line with your expectations with the franchisees, and where do you really kind of mandate that this is exactly what needs to happen, as opposed to some other things that could have more variables in them?
Right. Well, you know, and there's so many answers to that question. The one thing you got to remember is if you have a problem franchisee, if you have a problem with one of your locations, you have to protect not only your time and your brand and your investment, you have to protect the investment of the other franchise partners mm-hmm. that are doing it properly. And that's one where it takes a lot of discipline to be able to look at that properly. The whole thing, what it kind of comes down to is a franchise partner purchases your system to execute the system. They don't have to invent the system. And you could argue that when you're looking for the proper franchisee, that maybe those huge entrepreneurial traits that someone like me would have, or someone like a lot of other CEOs would have, necessarily isn't the best trait to have. You know, the most successful franchise locations are the ones that follow the system. And whenever something happens where the system isn't being followed, you know, a little nudge, and the last thing that you ever want to do is start a communication saying, well, according to your agreement, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. You know, that's just, you're just looking for trouble, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. Let's just get on our defensive stance first sentence, right?
And you can understand it. I mean, what'll happen is every market has its own variable a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and there we have locations that do things a little bit differently in certain aspects of the business to fit what's best for their market. And you certainly can't you can't not let the franchise location do well just because of something that you don't understand or agree with. It's really looking at the hard facts of it. We like to really listen to our franchise partners. If they have a concern, And then you mull through it.
Okay. Love that. Let's talk about planning for franchisors and emerging franchisors, especially. Obviously they need to have a certain level of business plan put together. Mm-hmm. Where does that start and how far into the future are you advising other franchisors to have that plan?
Well, a lot of people, as they're jumping into the franchise market, they say, okay, I have my great concept. I have a really successful location here that we're running. And we want to expand that. So we want to jump into franchising. And one thing you have to do is my good buddy, Angela Cote from up here, actually in BC, I'm seeing her tomorrow night.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. It's gonna be fun. She'll take a really interesting approach where she will almost try to convince them not to, and say that basically this is the variables that are going to happen. Here's the money that's invested, the time that's invested, all that kind of stuff. Because when you're doing, whenever you award franchising in Canada, we have 6 provinces with franchise legislation. And you have to follow certain laws. So right off the get-go, you're going to incur some serious financial strain. You have to be prepared and budgeted for that. And the one thing that happens is if you're starting to use your franchise fees as a profit model, if you're saying, okay, I'm going to sell, I want to sell 4 franchises this year. I'm going to put that in my budget. So I'm going to be able to take that revenue and reinvest that or whatever it may be. If you use franchise fees as your profit model, you're going to run into trouble.
Yeah. That's a little short-sighted, you're saying.
Oh yes. It's if your franchise fees, 50,000 or 30,000, it's not going to cost you $5,000 to do this. I mean, to do it properly and to do it right. And there's lots of franchise professionals out there that help with understanding that. So that expectation that a lot of people will have off the get-go. And then the other one's time. They say, okay, well, I want to make sure that I do this properly, but I also want to get aggressive. But I can guarantee it, every franchise brand that I've talked to, you look at when they start, in 2 years down the road, in 3 years down the road, in 5 years down the road, it's a completely different concept or a completely different style of franchise awarding that they had off the start. And again, kind of jumping back to the conversation we had a little earlier, if you scale up and get really aggressive on growth and you don't have your franchise, basically your, whether it be your profiling or the way you're doing it down, you're going to have a rough year fixing that.
Yeah.
So there, the one thing that in Canada here, franchisors, it's a very large country. There's a lot of franchise brands, but the franchise industry, for the most part, if you work it, you know a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I got some really good advice from Jackson and Deanna from 30 Minute Hit, wonderful brand from the West Coast here. And they're doing extremely well. They're actually franchising overseas now. And, they're a few years ahead of us, obviously. But they had said to me, Steve, take your time. There's no panic. You're going to do well. You got a great brand. You're doing great. To get that kind of solid advice and that pat on the back from someone who's actually in our industry, you don't take any of that with a grain of salt. But to kind of simmer down this, the conversation here would be take your time and don't try to do it so fast. There's lots of time to do that. The market that you're looking at doing it in, whether it be fitness, whether it be food, whether it be home care, the market's not going anywhere.
Yeah,
just right. make sure you do it properly, and that's how you're going to make your stint in the industry.
Yeah, and if it's something where you think, yeah, but it's this really hot trend right now, so we've got to get in and we've got to get it going, in the next 2 months or something like that.
That's certainly
if it's that much of a hot trend, flash in the pan kind of thing, it's probably not a good long term business to be a part of anyway. So.
Yeah, so, and I think we, without picking on any individual industry itself, I've seen 3 or 4, that have come up and they're hot and the market got extremely saturated and then just the legs fell out of it.
Yeah, and they sold a lot of franchises and some of them may have actually opened.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right, and that's something that you don't want to look at. I mean, with our in the fitness business, you know, if you play your cards right, it's literally recession proof. It's a very healthy, again, no pun intended, very healthy market. And if you do, you have a good brand, you have a good system, you have a good concept, you'll do well. And there's literally room for, I mean, there's room for competitors and competition.
Oh yeah. The pie is growing. So
yes,
you know, you're not fighting over slices. Let's all make this pie bigger.
Well, I mean, that's a really good point, because what can happen is when we look at it, our model works out very well in small towns, works out very well in smaller towns. Our smallest location that we have, if you can believe it, Jack, is in a town of 2,100 people.
Wow.
And Holly and Chris do really well there.
A lot of those in North America. So
lots of
growth potential.
Yeah.
The last question I wanted to get to here today, Steve, is you were talking a bit about keeping your head up when times get tough. Tell me what kind of advice you give franchisors on that topic.
Well, that will happen. It's not rainbows and butterflies.
It's not if, it's when, right?
No, right. And what's going to happen is there's things that are in your control, but there's also some things that are out of your control. And making sure that you have an optimistic approach, dealing with things optimistically, of course, you can't just have your head up in the clouds, but you have to prevail. And some days you'll look at it and say, why isn't this going the way I originally envisioned? There's a zillion different answers for that, but communicate, talk to other people in your industry, talk to mentors, talk to senior franchisors. Sometimes when you talk to franchisors that have, 1500 units, it's a little bit different because they're so long, far past from where the emerging franchisor is. Good buddy of mine, David Drucker from UPS Store. He's a master franchisee for Canada. He's also on the board of directors with the Canadian Franchise Association. Wonderful guy. And I remember talking with him and saying, he said, you're at the hardest part. When you have a new brand that you're franchising, to get from that 0 to 10 units is almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't make it. It's having people like that to talk to, not making decisions on emotion, and keeping your head up and remember why you started. That's really important to, when you go to sleep at night and you wake up in the morning, tell yourself a few things that you're grateful for. If you're looking to just load up your pockets really fast, and sail off to the sunset, maybe franchising is not the way to go. If you're looking for long-term growth, where you can take your brand that you started in your heart, and watch that grow properly. It's certainly satisfying, but again, you're going to have those days and you got to keep your head up high. And if you're having one of those days where everything's just going wrong, and we've all had them, it's just resetting. Take the day off if you have to, and just remember that tomorrow's another day. You can get through it. And making sure you have a good team of advisors to get you through that. And if that makes any sense to you, Jack.
It absolutely does. Tell yourself why you started. I love that idea. Steve, we're going to be back in just a moment with some contact information for you.
Awesome.
But first, today's show is brought to you by The Better Software Company. The Better Software Company has everything you need to take control of franchise operations with a software solution that does it all. Control your brand, support your franchisees, track leads, and take your sales and customer service to the next level with a CRM designed specifically for franchises. The Better Software Company believes that building franchise success means making it easy for franchisees to be successful. Learn more at thebettersoftwarecompany.com. That's thebettersoftwarecompany.com. Steve Collette, thanks so much for joining me today. This has been a great conversation. And if our listeners want to continue it, meaning if they have questions for you themselves, where can they reach you and maybe learn a little bit more?
Yeah, well, you can reach me directly at steve@thirddegreetraining.com. Or if you get on thirddegreetraining.com and you hit contact, get a hold of me anytime. I'm also very active on LinkedIn. Big fan of your show, Jack, obviously. And send me a direct message anytime. Our companies is now franchising across Canada. So as we go, I'm jumping into lots of communities. And if someone is looking to sit down and just have a coffee and say, here's what I'm thinking, I would love to help in any way. I feel that I've taken advantage of those resources. And if I'm at a point where I can give that back in any way, I'm just a quick message away.
Thank you for that. Sounds like a winner. And thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure's all mine.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2019, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.